Hello and welcome to lesson number 3 in the series on Balaam, Israel's fundamental promoter of apostasy. In our previous program, we looked in Numbers 22. Balaam was heading back to Balak to try and make some more money from him with his soothsaying. And as he was leaving town, the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these 3 times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." Now, just by way of review, Balaam was a prophet in Israel. However, he was a false prophet. God's people thought he was a real thing. He sounded real. If you look at some of the things he said, and you can go back into a previous lesson, we could put together a very special series of messages on the things that Balaam said. He sounded as fundamental as any fundamental preacher you would listen to today. Jude said concerning him, he was reserved for to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now these things are written for our admonition. The Bible says all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now what are we supposed to be admonished about? Well, Ezekiel 44:23 says, "And they," that is the leadership, "shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." They shall teach. Who are they? Well, that's the leadership. Today we would call them pastors, and we would call them parents, specifically fathers. Angie, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We, those in a position of responsibility, are to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Again, all this stuff that we're looking at back here to do with Balaam and Balak and what was happening is written for our admonition. It's not just a history lesson. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." And so today we have the wolves coming into our homes. The wolves are coming into our churches. Oh yeah, they're dressed in sheep's clothing. And who's teaching the difference between the holy and the profane? Not many. And so as a result, God's people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, King Balak's plan, he thought he needed a soothsayer. Balaam's reputation had preceded him, and so they made a 400-mile trip to secure him. And of course, Balaam's plan, he was just in it for the money. God's response to Balaam, we saw in our previous lesson, he said in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 20, "Rise up and go with them." Then in Numbers 22 and 22, we read God's anger was kindled because he went. What is happening here? Well, one of the things that's happening here is Balaam's selective hearing. God had said, "Rise up and go with them." But before he said that, he said, "If the men come to call thee." There is no indication that these men came to call him. All we read here is Balaam rose up in the morning, and saddled his ass, and he went. He only heard what he wanted to hear. God was simply giving Balaam another chance to make a right decision, and Balaam was only interested in continuing his negotiation with Balak, and so he went with them. God said, "If the men come," they didn't come. Well, selective hearing, it's like that today. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Oh, yeah, that's the only verse that some Christians have memorized. "Judge not that ye be not judged." Oh, they'll turn this one down, though. John 7 and 24, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Now, these things, they need to be looked at in their context. And Matthew 7 is talking about condemning someone. We have no right to condemn anybody, but we are commanded to judge righteous judgment. Well, we read in Numbers 22 that Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. That's who he was with. Now, Balaam was in his glory. You can imagine as he left town with these high officials. Keep in mind that Bethor, where they were living there, was a hotbed of soothsayers. And here he goes riding off with the king's special servants. He's feeling pretty good. But things changed quickly. Numbers 22, we read, "And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him." Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord. She thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Now what we're going to get here is this Balaam, he's going to have a conversation with a jackass. He's going to talk to a donkey. This is hard to believe that he could be that stupid, but he was. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And he answers him. Balaam said, "Because thou hast mocked me. I would there was a sword in my hand. I would have killed thee." Now, I have a little dog, a little puppet, cute little dog. And when that little dog needs to go outside to do her business, I'm working my way at my desk here, and she will come, and she will take her paw and gently tap my foot with her paw. I look at her, and I say, "Oh, you want to go outside, Piper? Okay, come on, let's go to the door." Now, it's common. We talk to our pets. Okay. But if my little dog said, "Yeah, of course, why do you think I'm pounding your foot here? I need to go to the bathroom or open the door for me," I think I'd have a heart attack. Balaam, he says, "Oh, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, now I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden every day? Ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he answers again. He said, "Nay, come to think of it, you haven't really done that." This guy is really stupid. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Well, this is a great thing, right? No. Balaam's get-out-of-trouble prayer did not impress the Lord at all. There's no repentance here whatsoever. What we read is, "And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." Well, from this point on, Balaam becomes God's puppet. This is important. From this point on, God will speak through Balaam just like he has with the donkey. In Numbers 22:28, we read, "The Lord opened the mouth of the ass." In Numbers 23 and number 5, "And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth." In verse number 16, we read, "The Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, Go again unto Balak and say thus." And then in verse 26, Balaam said, "Told not I thee, saying, All that the Lord speaketh, that must I do." It must have been very embarrassing for him as he's into this situation. Now, we need to understand, we can put a lot of blame here on the leadership, and it should be put on them. But the people get the kind of leadership they deserved, and so we do today. It says in Numbers 11:1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. In verse number 10, it says, the people were weeping throughout their family, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so, as the people, let's not get too concerned about how far astray the leadership is going. We have a responsibility as the people of God to, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's the responsibility of the people. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Well, Balaam's solution for Balak's problem we find in Numbers 24. It says, and now, Balaam said, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. That word advertise has been translated counsel 25 times. As a result of Balaam's counsel, we read in Numbers 31:16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. How did that happen? Through the counsel of Balaam. And so his counsel, Psalm 106 deals with that. It says they joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. Notice it says they joined. Balaam advertised or counseled Balak not to fight against Israel, but to get Israel to mingle with them. We just have to join together. His thought, well, after all, Moab, and that's who he's talking to here, you're related to Israel through Lot, and so what Moab was, you know, they were part of the family. They were not following the ways of God, but they're part of the family. So the new plan was, let's just forget our differences and get together. How often have you heard that word together since COVID-19 came in? Oh, we got to get together. We got to be one. We got one world, one world. The Bible says at the end of the age, there's going to be a one world government, and there's going to be a one world church, and so-called church. And so it's all coming together. You've got to be blind not to see that the return of the Lord is just around the corner. So what was God's reaction to this? Let's just get together. Numbers 25:3, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We read in Numbers 25:5, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. That's pretty serious. Well, we go back to Psalm 106, says they joined, they ate, and they angered the Lord with their inventions. Now they ate. God's people began to feed on whatever Moab had to offer them. Their inventions, that Hebrew word has been translated doings 35 times. If you study the account carefully, you'll find it was the young people in Israel who were duped into the apostasy. And the same thing is happening today as fundamental promoters of apostasy promote the damnable heresy that we don't need to repent in order to be saved. That is a damnable heresy. And so the doctrine of Balaam is still with us today and is being promoted by both saved and unsaved fundamentalists. Never in the history of what we call fundamentalism, have we been so enticed to compromise the truths of scriptures and join with those who are guilty of spiritual fornication, and now even changing the plan of salvation? Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, no, you don't need to repent. We want to get a big crowd. You can't get a big crowd by telling people they have to repent. Just tell them they have to believe, and they'll feel better, and they'll come in, and you can preach to a bigger crowd. Yeah, that's where we are today, and we call it fundamentalism. Well, the positive side of the story, it says, then stood up Phinehas. Psalm 106:30 says, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. Phinehas was the son of Eleazar, the grandson of Aaron. His zeal for the Lord inspired a remnant to stand true to the things of the Lord. That remnant not only rushed to the door of the tabernacle to confess their sins, and they went to plead for God's mercy. They rose up when the majority failed and stood to defend the cause of the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 11:5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant. Well, we'll sum this all up with some conclusions in our next program, but remember, these things are written for our admonition. All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We'll look at the things we need to be admonished about in our next lesson.